From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 9th day of November, 2021. It's USDA Report Day. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll hear about the national and state numbers from USDA state statistician Mark Schleusner as they relate to the crop production figures. And then Wayne Nelson will help us put those into context and what happened in Chicago. He's with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll discuss how corn and soybean prices moved over that time. We'll also talk about the agricultural energies today with Stephen Platt at Archer Financial Services. And along the way, check the weather forecast too. That with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. All on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they were released from the United States Department of Agriculture today. Crop production now for corn set at 177 bushels to the acre. That was up a half a bushel to the acre. Total production at 15.062 billion bushels for a carryout of 1.493 billion. And a cash price on the average over the whole of the season at $5.45. That's the same as last month. Soybeans now at 51.2 bushels to the acre for the month of November. That's down 0.3 of a bushel from last month. Total production at 4.425 billion bushels of soybeans with a carryout of 340 million and an average cash price of $12.10 a bushel. That's down 25¢ from the previous month. Well, December corn in Chicago then settled 3¼ higher at $5.54¾. The March up 3¼ at $5.64¼. January soybeans 23½ higher at $12.12. November of next year up 19 at $12.20¾. The bean meal for the day $10.70 higher. Bean oil 42¢ higher. And wheat futures in the soft red up 10½¢. The hard red up 12¾ for the day. Live cattle futures a dime lower, rather higher at 132.20. The feeders at 159.80 were 50¢ lower, and lean hogs were down $1.42½ at $74.95. Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, now joins us on this, well, turnaround Tuesday, I guess. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for letting me be a turnaround day after the way things have been going.
Well, USDA brought those numbers out, and, they surprised, I think, a few, especially in the soybeans, apparently. Either that or they were already expecting this kind of change, and it was sell the rumor, buy the fact. I don't know. You tell me.
I don't think they're expecting quite what they got. They were expecting a little bit of an increase in both corn and beans, and we got a little decrease in the bean number. And, did help us quite a bit, especially the first reaction to it. Now, of course, we didn't hold that through the day, but we did end up over 20¢ higher on the day after having, what's sort of been a dismal 2 weeks time period here.
Yeah, so is this the beginning of something better or just a one-day shot?
Oh, I think it's the start of something a little better. Now, is it something that's going to rally us back to where we were right away? I think it's going to take a few things going on. Harvest is wrapping up sort of fast, and as harvest wraps up, we tend to not see things sell off as fast because a lot of commercials out there wanting to, secure some soybeans, number one, for the crush margin. The ethanol plants are looking for corn to crush because it's very profitable yet as of right now. What we really need to rally this market is some export business, and especially China, to show up again.
They haven't been in the market much. Does that worry you?
Every time that China's totally out of the market and they're our main purchase agent for the beans and making it the driver of that market, it worries me a lot. And we're not seeing really friendly type things happening over there. They're talk about using the carbon monoxide to make some protein rather than eat quite a few beans. The talk that their corn crop was better than usual and very big numbers, and they don't need corn as bad, and their idea of wanting to cut back their hog herd. None of those are real encouraging to me. But, we also know that they talk a better game and are very smart traders, and their price of corn over their country doesn't say that they've got an excess of corn.
Yeah, speaking of price, USDA this month did not change the price of corn for the season. They're still predicting it to be $5.45. That's off its high at $5.75 earlier in the year, but still an awfully good price for a season-long average.
That's a tremendous price for season-long average, Todd, and I think that sort of tells us that the ethanol plants are going to, they think that they are going to be able to hold this price up through the end of the year, and their basis level is going to come up a little bit in a lot of cases as soon as this harvest winds down, which it will be doing in the next 10 days.
On that note, USDA did raise ethanol usage by 50 million bushels to 5.25 billion. Do you think that's correct? Exports remain unchanged.
I think that the ethanol number is correct, Todd. I think that we are seeing some very good usage of ethanol. We're seeing the demand for ethanol. We're exporting ethanol. And it's just what we needed for the corn market here. The exports, we need to see some business from somebody coming in here soon, or we're going to lose some export sales, I think.
Yeah, and same for soybeans, I assume, although USDA did lower soybeans exports by 40 million bushels.
Yeah, 40 million bushels in the exports and 2 million in the seed. The seed doesn't make a lot of sense to me. We're talking about planting more bean acres next year because of fertilizer and things that way, and yet we're lowering the seed to 2 million bushels. But that's one of my things I just looked at crazily. I think that, you know, we did lower those exports. I think it's right to do for the simple fact of, number one, we lost a month with the hurricane, and we're seeing very slow and no things filling in here, and the Brazilian crop planted early. And they're going to be back in our market against with the Chinese, you know, at least 30 days sooner.
So just added 20 million bushels to the ending stocks for soybeans, but they did lower the season's average price there from $12.35 to $12.10 a bushel.
Yeah, you know, and that's probably right. Are they right with all these numbers? Basically, we saw some really changes in the yields in the corn in states like Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Texas, you know, those places around. So they were a little lower in some of the places, been high. And, you know, do they have the numbers down quite right? Probably as a total they do, but I'm not sure they do in each state. And I think that there's going to be relocation of grain in some instances for feed and crushing.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, USDA released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 84% of the corn across the nation has been harvested. The five-year average is 78%. 87% of the soybeans have been harvested, and 88% is the five-year average. Now, here are statisticians from Illinois and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Rebecca Alter, statistician for the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office. Field activities included harvesting, fall tillage, fertilizer and anhydrous applications, and baling corn stalks. Harvest continued this week and was wrapping up in some parts of the state. Iowa's corn for grain harvest reached 84% complete, 4 days ahead of the five-year average. Moisture content of field corn being harvested for grain was 17%. Only farmers in south central Iowa have over one quarter of their corn for grain crop remaining to be harvested. 95% of Iowa's soybean crop has been harvested, 3 days ahead of the five-year average. While soybean harvest is nearly complete in much of the state, farmers in the southwest and south central districts have over 10% of their soybean crop still to harvest. Livestock were reported to be faring well. For the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office, this is Rebecca Alter.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cold and very dry across Illinois. Temperatures averaged 41.3 degrees, and that was more than 5 degrees below normal. Only a few traces of rain were reported around the entire state, compared to the normal rainfall amount of 0.8 inches for this week of the year. Soil temperatures on Sunday were in the low to mid-40s across the prairie state. Corn harvest advanced to 90% finished. That compares to 94% 1 year ago and 87% for the 5-year average. Soybean harvest reached 85% finished compared to 96% last year and 92% normally. Winter wheat planting advanced to 80% finished compared to 97% last year and 91% normally. 59% of wheat acres have emerged compared to 76% normally. Wheat conditions declined to 7% very poor to poor, 12% fair and 81% good to excellent. On November 9, NASS released the monthly crop production report. Here are some highlights for Illinois and the U.S. For corn in Illinois, NASS forecast the 2021 yield to be 207 bushels per acre, down 3 bushels from last month, but up 16 from last year's yield of 191. Total production of corn in Illinois is forecasted to be 2.24 billion bushels, up 5% from last year, and second among the states behind Iowa's corn production of 2.5 billion bushels. The soybean yield in Illinois is forecast at a record high of 64 bushels per acre, up 4 from last year and unchanged from last month. The total production of soybeans in Illinois is forecast at a record high of 675 million bushels, up 10% from last year, and unchanged from last month's forecast and highest among all 50 states. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for the weekly updates of crop progress across the Corn Belt. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's a day weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, tell me a little bit about this weather forecast, because we are at an inflection point, at least in the near term, where we're changing from what's been really wonderful fall weather, sunshine, dry for a period of time. Not so great before that, probably. But now we're looking at cooler weather and maybe some wetter weather. Where does it begin and how does it spread across the Midwest?
Well, we're right now looking at what's going to end up in the Midwest and the Northern Plains states is right now a wet pattern that's up into British Columbia and Washington and Oregon right now. And what will happen is that as the week goes on, as we get into the second half of the week, we're going to see it move out of there. And we're going to see a pretty hefty little storm system develop right over Minnesota, Wisconsin. And this is going to spread areas of rain and thunderstorm activity across portions of the Dakotas, Nebraska, and into western Iowa by Wednesday afternoon and into Wednesday night. And that's going to progress slowly eastward and cover the rest of the Corn Belt by Thursday and Friday. And it's also going to be a pretty cold system as well, Todd. We're going to see some winter weather into those northern areas. We're going to see the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, and even as far south as I-80. Into eastern Nebraska and Iowa. I would not be surprised if there's a little bit of that white stuff and some pretty cold air coming in behind it. So we're catching up. It has been, as you mentioned, a really nice fall for the most part, but we're running out of luck.
Well, as we run out of luck, we transition to colder temperatures. What do you see after this storm system comes through?
I think it's going to be a very busy second half of November. We're going to see other systems come out of the western areas of Canada and the Gulf of Alaska and head towards the nation's midsection. So the overall trend, if we were to just look at the big picture trend, starting this week into the following week, Thanksgiving week, and into that first weekend of that first week of December, a lot of the nation from the eastern slopes of the Rockies and the Great Lakes and Midwest is going to be trending colder and more active.
Let's back up just a little bit. I want to talk about some of the recent heavy rainfalls within the last month, especially across parts of California and your part of the world, I believe, as well. It's been challenging there because it's been so very dry. One series of rain does not finish a drought off. How close are you to getting things back to normal, and does it vary by region much?
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, one storm doesn't do it, but it certainly helped. One thing that we do see is that the latest drought monitor actually showed some Class 1 improvement in drought conditions in parts of California and other parts of the central and western areas of the United States that are so dry. And the outlook, at least here for the next 10 to 7 days, is going to be for more rain in California and the Pacific Northwest. We do see a pattern for the remainder of this fall and into the beginnings of winter in some of those really drought-stricken areas, much better than we saw in terms of our outlook a year ago. However, it is very difficult, other than with snowpack, to put large dents in western droughts during the fall and winter season. You got to really get those spring rains and those spring snows to help out the most.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joined us on this Tuesday to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Platt is here, too. He's with Archer Financial Services and will help us discuss what's been happening in the agricultural energy markets. Hey, thanks for being with us today, Steve.
Oh, my pleasure.
I made note in today's USDA reports that ethanol usage was up 50 million bushels for corn, that is, in the numbers they released in the monthly World Agricultural Supply and Demand estimates. Do you suppose that's reflected in gasoline usage or miles driven across the United States and how it works into ethanol's overall usage? And I guess in that same breath, things have been really profitable and wanted to kind of know whether they're stockpiling ethanol for usage later, too.
Well, certainly the gasoline demand has increased, and that has had an impact on the usage of ethanol. And that's a big factor that we're confronting in terms of the market overall is the demand side, particularly in the U.S., has come back in a rather strong fashion from to almost pre-pandemic levels and actually almost exceeding them with the increase in travel, opening up of borders. That's been a big highlight of the market, and it's created a tight situation overall for the energy complex. We've seen this reflected in tightness overall in terms of stock levels, particularly in Cushing. Recently, stock levels for the U.S. have built up overall, but Cushing stocks have been drawn down rather dramatically from where they were here a year ago. This is certainly a reflection of the market, and we've seen a lot of volatility here, Todd, in terms of crude prices moving at least $2 over the past week in a day. And sometimes even three, as the market tries to assess the demand outlook. I think that was one of the reasons the Saudis actually increased some of their differentials as we move into December shipping dates here, almost twice as much as what had been expected. They feel the tight situation will persist as we move through the Northern Hemisphere winter and probably will contribute to a strong undertone to the market. At the same time, OPEC has been able to really maintain control over their production levels. They continue to increase it per month by about 400,000 barrels per day. But with demand increasing from shortages of nat gas and coal, they are looking at a rather tight situation as we enter into 2022, even with them increasing their production levels. This has created a rather strong tone to the market. One uncertainty has certainly been Chinese demand, but it looks like it's starting to stabilize in terms of some of their shortages of nat gas and coal. And some of that is being transferred into better demand for petroleum derivatives. So overall, this market has really shown a pretty strong bend and limited downside potential on the breaks, which basically have reflected some uncertainty on whether the U.S. might need to release some of their strategic petroleum reserves along with the restarting of Iranian negotiations. The release of U.S. reserves probably does not do a lot to the market. Instead, you'll probably see it actually encourage some concern and building concern over where we really stand in terms of the supply-demand fundamentals as we move into 2022. And the world economy gets better along with the U.S. as we go through this infrastructure plan.
Rig counts in the United States have jumped since August, but I'm wondering whether that's not filling the gap, and if there is a reason that's the case, is it just too expensive to still at even these $80 a barrel levels to produce oil in some of the parts of the U.S. that have been online in the past?
My sources have said that the expansion in rig count has been happening with the smaller producers. The larger producers have not been real energetic at pursuing fresh investments in the oil patch. They've also been, in terms of new wells, experiencing a lot of steel shortages, even shortages with some of the metering equipment are still impeding some of the investment. We've seen U.S. production indicated around 11.5, still far off the 13 million we were producing prior to the pandemic back in 2020. So it's a slow move, and with the competition from and movement to renewables, you do have a kind of cautious footing in terms of exploration and production capital budgets planned in 2022 here that needs to be watched. You should see a pretty dramatic increase in capital investment, but I don't think it's going to really come up to what you would have expected if this pandemic had not occurred and some of the supply chain challenges that we're facing had not taken place.
Hey, Steve, thank you. We'll talk with you in another month.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Steve Platt is with Archer Financial Services. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. It is public radio for the farming world.